After the crew had gone, he murmured some words to Captain Jaggery. The two shook hands, and the first mate went below. Now the captain was alone on the quarter-deck. Glancing upward at the sails from time to time, he began to pace back and forth in an almost leisurely fashion, hands clasped behind his back, a study in deep thought. I, meanwhile, still clung to the rail, braced against the heaving ship. But I had new hope. I had not been abandoned. My perception of Captain Jaggery made me certain that my world was regained. Summoning such strength and courage as was left me, I mounted the steps to the quarter-deck. When I reached the top, the captain was moving away from me. Grateful for the momentary reprieve, I stood where I was, fighting the nausea I felt, gathering all my womanly arts so as to present myself in the most agreeable fashion, making sure my hair, my best asset, fell just so, despite the breeze, to my lower back. At last he turned. For a moment his severe eyes rested on me, and then he smiled. It was such a kind, good-natured smile that my heart nearly melted. I felt I would, I think I did, shed tears of gratitude.
"Ah," he said with unimpeachable refinement, "Miss Doyle, our young lady passenger."
He lifted his tall hat in formal salutation.
"Captain Andrew Jaggery at your service."
He bowed. I took a wobbly step in his direction, and despite my weakness tried to curtsy. "Please, sir," I whispered in my most modest, ladylike way. "My father would not want me here on this ship and in this company. I must go back to Liverpool, to Miss Weed." Captain Jaggery smiled brilliantly, then laughed, a beguiling, manly laugh.
"Return to Liverpool, Miss Doyle," he said. "Out of the question. Time, as they say, is money, and nowhere is this truer than on board a ship. We are well off, and we shall continue on. God willing, we shall touch no land but welcome ports. I am sorry you have such rude company. I know you're used to better. It could not be helped. But in a month, no more than two, we shall have you safe in Providence. No worse off but for a little salt in that pretty hair of yours. In the meanwhile, I promise that when you're well, for I can see by your pallor that you have a touch of seasickness, I'll have you in my quarters for tea. We shall be friends, you and I."
"Sir, I shouldn't be here."
"Miss Doyle, you have my word on it. No harm shall come your way. Besides, it said a pretty child, a pretty woman, keeps the crew in a civilized state, and this crew can do with some of that."
"I feel so ill, sir," I said.
"That's only to be expected, Miss Doyle. In a few days it will pass. Now you will excuse me. Duty calls."
Turning, he made his way to the stern, where the second mate stood at the wheel. Checked by his courteous but complete dismissal of my request, and feeling even weaker than before, I somehow made my way back to my cabin. I did manage to crawl into the bed, and once there, I must have fallen into some kind of swoon. In any case, I remained there, too ill, too weak to do anything, certain I'd never rise again. Now and again I would feel a rough-skinned but gentle hand beneath my head. I would open my eyes, and there was Zachariah's ancient black face close by, murmuring soft, comforting sounds, spooning warm gruel or tea into my mouth, I didn't know which, as if I were some baby. Indeed, I was a baby. And from time to time, the face of Captain Jaggery loomed large too, a welcome and tender gift of sympathy. Indeed, I believed it was the sight of him more than anything else that sustained me, for I suffered real and terrible stomach pains and dreadful headaches. Even my dreams were haunted by ghastly visions. So real were they that once I started up and found Zachariah's dirk in my hand. I must have plucked it from beneath my mattress and was brandishing it against some imagined evil. I heard a sound. I looked across the cabin. A rat was sitting on my journal, nibbling at its spine. Horrified, I flung the dirk at it, then buried my head in the coverlet, burst into tears, and cried myself to sleep again. This bad time passed. At length, I was able to sleep in peace. How long I slept, I'm not sure. But then, at last, I truly awoke.